And this is management nuts and bolts, creating an experience for your clients. And our speaker for today is Dr. Daniel McQuiston. Dr. McQuiston is chairman of the marketing department at Butler University and is the director of education for the Manufacturers Representative Education Research Foundation. Ask him about his basketball team today. And he has given all sorts of management lectures nationally and all around the world. He is also on the faculty at Purdue for the VMI Institute in conjunction with AHA. And now I would like to introduce Dr. McQuiston.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Get wired up here. Okay, I assume you can all hear me okay, because, boy, I can sure hear myself. Okay, how are we doing this morning? Good. Everybody all ready to go on a Saturday morning? No, I have nothing to do with the lights here, so I'm not creating a mood or anything like that. So, okay, so this is what the second, when we all start out here, was it yesterday? Okay, everybody learn everything yesterday that you need to know? Okay. All right, so what we're going to talk about today is how do we create an experience for our clients. Now, as Chris mentioned, I don't know how many of you follow the NCAA basketball. Anybody follow that at all? Okay, well, my team won yesterday. We are now in the Sweet 16, so we're pretty pleased. I'm used to kind of wandering around here, but they've got me tethered in by a wire here, so if I do a quick little jerk, you'll know why. So, okay, what we're going to talk about today, how do you create an experience for your clients? Now, what the heck do we mean by that? Well, we're going to talk about how our economy is changing, and really, and you all have a handout here, should have something that looks like this. If you don't ask Amy, she'll get you one. Right? Is that okay? It should be some on the end of the aisles and so forth. We're just going to kind of go through this. Obviously, you can take notes on this if you'd like to. But what I want to take a look at and how we, as an economy, are really beginning to transition to what we call an experience economy. And I'll talk a little bit about how we've gone from the agrarian to commodities to goods to services to now the experience. And then we're going to talk about what are some ways you can actually create an experience for your clients? What are some of the ways you can do that? And then to give you guys a chance at the end to figure out what are some of the things that you can do to create in your clinic a positive experience for some of your clients here. Okay, let's begin with a question here. What do these things have in common? What do all these have in common? And I'm going to list a bunch of them and then this is like a class, so I'll ask you questions. I expect an answer. Listen up, because this will be on the test. Okay? All right? So first thing, Starbucks. I actually couldn't pull a Starbucks logo off the website for whatever reason. Okay? Cabela's. Y'all know Cabela's? Who knows Cabela's? Okay, what's Cabela's? Somebody say it. Outdoor entertainment or outdoor goods and services. It's a manly man kind of thing, but it's a guy thing. Okay, you got Cabela's. How about anybody been whitewater rafting? Okay, and then the last, everybody's favorite, Disney World. Who here has been to Disney World? Oh boy, awesome. Okay, what do those all have in common? What do they do? What's their main gist of things? How do they really try to differentiate themselves from everybody else? They're fun, yeah. What else? Study and excellence in customer service, yeah, absolutely. You know, Disney and Cabela's and Starbucks are known for that. What else? What do they try and create? Get immersed in their world. Okay, Derek, go with that. Yeah. Experiences. They all seek to really create an experience for you, don't they? Okay, think of it. How is walking into a Starbucks different than walking into a Dunkin' Donuts? I mean, how is it different? You know, there's lots of ways we can do that. The colors, the lighting, the smells. Go ahead.
Well,
Ah, so packaging their coffee, but when you walk in, though, you smell that, you know, coffee, don't you? Oh, well, that's interesting, because for whatever reason, I'm not sure how, but yeah, but how about when you walk, okay, who's been into a Cabela's store? Okay, what's it like when you walk into Cabela's? Okay, you know the first rule, when the instructor asks a question, don't want to answer, don't make eye contact. Okay, go to the call. Okay, Scott, what's it like walking into a Cabela's? Scott made eye contact. What's it like when you walk in there? Why? Feel like you're in the great outdoors. Why? What about it? Decorations, waterfalls, climbing walls, all sorts of kinds of things. How about, I'll skip whitewater raft. How about when we go to Disney World? How about when you walk through the front gates of the Magic Kingdom and you're on Main Street, USA? What do you feel like? We're all 10 years old again, aren't we? And the sights and the sounds and the people and even some cases the smells of the odor, you know, it's just there, isn't it? Okay, so that's really what we're after here. Now, when we think about creating an experience, obviously we think about entertainment places, which a lot of these are entertainment places. But what I want you to think about is you can create an experience, and a lot of places create experiences even just by having a service. For example, I'm from Indianapolis. And I was coming home from the gym the other morning, and I just happened to be listening to the radio turned down on one of the local television stations. And there's a very popular barbershop there in Indianapolis that has called themselves the Main Event, Main being M-A-N-E. And what they have is they have a barbershop, but then they have like a sports area, a sports bar in there. They have, you know, ESPN going, and they have a little snack bar, and they put their clients through what they call the five stages. There's the kickoff, there's the coin flip, and there's the kickoff, and there's the greet, and there's all these sorts of things. So what they're doing is, I mean, how many of us, you know, guys, okay, I've talked to guys for a minute, how many of us like going and getting a haircut? I mean, how fun is that? But how neat would it be if we go in and get a haircut and we could watch ESPN? Or watch SportsCenter? Or go to March Madness and watch that? See, so what they're doing is taking it away from just the strict thing of a haircut to creating that experience. So let's talk about what are some of the things we can do here? What is an experience? What is that? Well, an experience is, you see, when your company, you intentionally use your services as a stage. Notice that we talk about Cabela's and Starbucks and Disney World. They stage that, don't they? The Main Event stages that experience, okay? And they use their individuals, they have their goods as props in that stage, in that performance, if you will. And then they also create, they use all that to create a very unique event for the customers. How can I do that in a veterinary clinic? How does that work? Well, we're gonna put you guys to work here in a little bit. We're gonna get some creative minds going, some collective minds going, and think about how to do that. Okay. So I mentioned that when we started off, we were going to think about moving to an experience, or rather we're looking at moving from an experience to an experience economy. What do we mean by that? Well, let's talk a little bit about how have economies changed over a period of time. And let's illustrate that by looking at something very simple like a birthday cake. Okay, we've all had birthday cakes, but let's take a look at that. Okay. When we started off, we had the agrarian economy. Let's talk about our grandmothers. When our grandmothers made a birthday cake, how'd they do it? They got out the eggs, they got the flour, they got the butter, and they whipped everything up, didn't they? Because that's what you did. You know? But then our mothers came along and we had what's called, you see, the industrial economy, and then our mothers, what'd you have? Betty Crocker, Duncan Hines. We paid a buck or two to them. And then we added a couple eggs, and we added a little bit of milk, and you know that was the industrial economy, and that worked. That's kind of probably what most of our mothers did that. And then as we got into the really time-starved 80s and early 90s, we went to the service economy, and what do? You go to the grocery store, don't you, or the bakery, and you buy a cake for 10 or 15 bucks. Which is many, many times the cost of the ingredients, but it's the convenience factor, isn't it? It's the service that they can provide you. And for those of us, it was probably worth the $10 or $15, so he didn't have to hassle with that. And that's where a lot of us are now. But let's take one more look here. Let's take the experience. What do we do now? How many, we outsource it, don't we? Those of us who have kids, you take them where? Chuck E. Cheese. Or McDonald's. Or the Disney Club. Or something else. You see how we progressed in doing that? Just by a simple thing of a birthday cake. Okay. Now, because these experiences, ladies and gentlemen, they're more unique, we're finding more and more customers, more and more of our clients are really desiring these things called experiences. Now, how much does it cost? How much does it cost to buy a birthday cake from the grocery store? $10? $15 if you get a really nice one. What's it cost to outsource that to Chuck E. Cheese's? A lot. And that was years ago. You're probably talking, you know, by the time you're done, however many kids, you're probably talking $7-8 a kid, plus the cake. You know, and so by the time you have 10 kids and add a cake, you're well over $100 for a 7-year-old birthday to go and get, you know, and come out of there looking, but anyway, all right? Whew, been there, done that, boy. All right. So let's take a quick discussion. What I want you guys to come up with, just kind of people next to you, behind you, whatever it is, get in groups of 3 or 4. And I want you to ask each other and come up with kind of one per group, and we'll kind of go around with those, or we'll ask a few people. What was the most memorable paid-for experience you had in the last year? What was the most memorable paid-for experience, and what made it memorable? We've all paid for a number of experiences, gone to performances or whatever it is. What was the most memorable, and what made it so? Let's give you about 3 minutes, let's do that. Just kind of talk to each other. If you don't know, introduce yourself, whatever. Just do that real quick. Oh, yeah. Well, Vegas is incredible. Okay, this is just like my class. Nobody pays any attention to me there either. So it's, what group had kind of an interesting, unique one that they would like to share? Kind of made it. Go ahead. Teresa, what'd you have? Downtown Aquarium. Okay, how was it? You say it's, how was it complete immersion at the Downtown Aquarium? Here, let me give you.
Rainforest, the desert, so forth. They change the humidity in each zone, so you're feeling the temperature difference on your face. The smells they have, and of course, you know, the design. Even the ceilings are painted in each area, so it's complete immersion.
Oh yeah. Interesting. That's interesting. That's here in Denver. Okay. How about another one? Who's got another one? Come on, somebody must have interesting. No, Terry, I'm going to call on you if you make eye contact. You got one?
We were just talking about the unexpected.
Okay, which is? I'm doing this because we're taping this, and maybe. Jan, go. Okay. Yeah, bring this over here where they. It's mainly for this.
All right. I was telling, went to Animal Kingdom at Disney World and went on a ride. I like roller coasters. Mm-hmm. And I had never been on this ride, and it came to a sudden halt halfway through it because the track ended. Then all of a sudden it went backwards. Wasn't expecting that, which made it even better.
Okay. Ooh, I can't do the backwards stuff. You know that. Okay. But I think, you know, you probably all had some other ones. But what we want to think about, and so what made those unique? What made those things unique? You know, I mean, you know, Terry, you had a really good one with talking about the aquarium here, in terms of how they had different themes and they engaged everything, and that's really what creating an experience is all about. And that is really, in fact, we have something similar in Indianapolis, you know, something like that, very similar. Okay, so really, what we're looking at here, how is an experience though? How is it different? When you're creating experience, what are you doing? Okay. See, all the things we talked about, the goods and the services and even the commodities, those are all what we call external to your customer. But now, an experience, folks, that's personal. That's internal. Because, you know, Terry, did you go with anybody else yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, a coworker. He or she. Did she see the same things you did? Well, you know, I'm sure she was glad she paid the admission. But besides that, did you come out and did you see exactly the same things? Okay, why was that? Why do you suppose that was? You're different people. And you experience things in different ways. And if you've been, you know, when we go to a Disney World or go to a Cabela's or go into a Starbucks, some people are going to see one thing and other people are going to see other things. And that's what we talk about making, we experience an experience, if we can say it that way, rather than just simply living a particular service here. Okay, let's talk about some very key economic distinctions here. And when we have the commodities, you know, basically our grandmother's making the birthday cake from scratch. What did they do? Well, you had a bunch of goods and services. It was natural. Things were stored in bulk. And really, the factors of demand, the things that made it different, were just the characteristics of the flour and the sugar and all those kinds of things. Okay, then we move to the goods or the industrial economy. And you see the things here that made it different. We had the economy was industrial. Rather than extracting things, we made them. The nature of the offering was tangible, much more standardized than it was natural. The seller was the manufacturer, the buyer was the user, and the key thing there was not the characteristics, but the features of that particular system. And then we went and bought the cake from the grocery store or the bakery or whatever it is. Now you see the service, a lot of times it was delivered on demand. We didn't inventory that like we did the cake mix. We went and delivered it. It was delivered on demand. The buyer now becomes much more of a client. And it's a benefit to us to buy that birthday cake, isn't it? Because we don't have to do it ourselves. And then finally, we've got the experience thing here, where we experience, and notice here the key thing, it's staged. We stage that experience. You know, when you went to the aquarium, that was staged, wasn't it? I mean, they didn't just think, gee, wouldn't this be, let's just kind of do this or do that. They figured out, how can we really immerse all of our patrons into this to where we can really truly stage an experience and not only get, you know, our regular people, but visitors like you to come in. It's revealed over duration. You guys have been in veterinary clinics. You have been providing services, haven't you? That's what you do. And that's certainly nothing wrong with that. But what we're thinking about, how can we move past that to stage an experience and go from a client to actually making it a guest? And, you know, you guys have all done things like this. You may not have realized it, but you have done, and you have staged experiences like this. What's the key determinant in how we move from one economy to another? It's time, isn't it? It's time. I remember reading a thing when, just as we were going into the new millennium and reading an article about... It was written in 1975, and they said how the economy would differ in year 2000 than it would in 1975. And they said some things like, we'd be doing most of our shopping on television. I kind of missed that one. We basically would have no cash at all. We'd be a cashless society. Everything would be done by credit cards and debit cards. There's somewhat. But the thing they said is, in the year 2000, it would be different. We will have much more time than we did in 1975. How many of us... who've been working for, how many of us have more time than we did 25 years ago? Or 5 years ago? Or 10 years ago? We don't. We don't have that. And we also take a look at the number of offerings that people have. You know, how many different, thinking from a clinic, how many different veterinary clinics are within you guys? When your clients have a choice, do your clients have a choice to go to any number of clinics they can go to? How many other clinics are within maybe a 1 or 2 mile radius of you? There can be one, there can be several. Why do they choose to come to you? Now, obviously, they come to you because of the services you provide and because if you're a veterinarian, because of the care you provide, but there's other reasons that they come too. They come to you because they feel they're getting not only the service, but maybe they want to come to you because we can create and we can actually stage an experience here. So when we think about it, just then, the progression of economic value, just kind of, you know, let me put this up, I'm going to put it all up here and then talk about it for a minute. Okay? See, all of a sudden, when we had these goods, and everybody had the same amount of goods, when Betty Crocker first came out with a cake mix, who else came out with a cake mix? Duncan Hines, also. So all of a sudden, what was a differentiated product became a commodity everybody had. So we had to figure out another way to differentiate it. And so we put some kind of services with it. Maybe they would have an 800 number or all kinds of free recipes, but then that became a commodity. Now what we need to think about here is how do we actually stage that experience? Because this is where we've been. How do we move up here? And let's talk about that. Now, before really you can... What we need to think about, the thing that differentiates a true experience from something else is that you charge for that. Now, is going into a Brookstone or a Sharper Image, is that an experience? You really don't pay. Now, and you know, you can go in, you can try all their stuff, but you know, how many of us just go in there and just try stuff and then you know walk out? I mean, we do that. But we don't just walk into a Starbucks and smell and listen to the music and walk out, do we? So you think about the seasonal festivals, state fairs, do they charge? Yeah. Because they create that experience. So let's now, how do we design? Let's get to the nuts and bolts here, because that's really what we're about here, right? Management nuts and bolts. What are some of the things we do? How do we design an experience here? We're going to go through each one of these here in detail. And then... As I'm going to list them here, and then after we go through each one of them, I'm going to give you just a couple minutes to think about how you might be able to do this theme and experience and do these various things in your clinic. First thing you do is you theme that. We're going to talk about each one of these. Then we think about create positive cues that affirm that value to the client. Third thing we do, along with having positive cues, we eliminate the negative cues. Next thing we need to think about is an interesting thing, we mix in the memorabilia. We mix in things that help people justify or help people remember the experience. And finally, as well as we can, we engage all the five senses that we can do. And again, we can use what Terry did the other day as an experience. We'll talk about some other things here. Okay, let's talk about theming the experience first thing. All right. Think of the businesses we mentioned earlier. Disney World, Starbucks, Cabela's, the Whitewater Rafting, the downtown aquarium, okay? How do they create their themes? What's the quote theme of Disney World? What is it? Happiest place on earth? Yeah? What? Clean, family, fun, isn't it? Do you think that just happened? That actually was exactly what Walt Disney had in mind. You know how Walt Disney got the idea for Disney World? He had two daughters, and he took them to an amusement park in California where he was working as a cartoonist. And he looked around, and the park was dirty, and the employees' uniforms weren't clean, and the employees didn't look like they were having any, the employees were doing it just strictly as a job. And he asked some people some questions. They wouldn't give him answers. He says, you know what? This is not the kind of experience I want my daughters to have. I want to create an experience not only for them, but for the entire family. And that's exactly what he created. We're going to have a clean family environmental, or a clean family educational environment. And that's what he did. So they created that theme. All right? Now, how do you establish a theme? Okay. Your sense of reality is altered. Okay. By the time, by the space, and by all the things that are around it. Again, think about those of us who've been to Disney World. As soon as you walk through the front gates of Main Street USA, how is your mindset altered? I mean, it's different, isn't it? You know you're in a different place because of all the things that they've done that way. All right? And I'll come back to you guys here in a minute. Okay? And then these themes are integrated into a holistic... into all the whole... What do they have? They not only have... What do they have in Disney World when you walk in there? They have Main Street, but then what lands do they have? They have Tomorrowland, Fantasyland, Frontierland, Tomorrowland, and then in the Animal Kingdom they have that, and Epcot they have the various... But see, notice they have all those themes, and then they also have... Do you just get on a roller coaster? Or do you just... What do you get on? You get on the Pirates of the Caribbean. Or you get into Mark Twain's paddle boat ride. Or you get into what, Mr. Toad's flying thing, whatever, I forget. We could never get on that because the line was too long. Okay? But you see, they've created that. They've altered that. So they have the themes, but they have themes within a theme, don't they? Okay, I'm going to come back to you guys in a minute, so hang with me here. And then again, themes are strengthened by having a place within a place. Okay, to you. Can you do this in a veterinary clinic? Can you create themes? What's the theme? Okay, what's your name? You're nodding your head. Kristen, how do you do that? Okay, a sympathy room with dark lighting and so forth. Okay, cat room. Have a dog room. You could have a client consultation room. You could. So you see, they've done that. And if you have surgeries, if you do surgeries in your clinic, you could have like a surgical thing. Recovery room. Couldn't you do that? Could you have those kinds of things? So that when basically, now when somebody walks into that, when now for your cat room, is that where you basically what, treat felines?
Yes.
Okay. So when somebody walks in there, what are they thinking?
Well, we have like cat books, we have cat toys,
sure.
We have cat information on the walls. Mm-hmm. Thinking, okay, so I get to learn more about my feline.
Same thing I assume for a dog? You walk into a dog. So, have they just created a theme? Yeah, bringing the comfort of the own home with them. That's exactly what they meant. Rather than just having a simple exam room, which is really what it is, you've just created more of that theme there, haven't you? Okay. Other things we need to think about. So, here, what themes? Okay. Anybody else got anything they can think about in terms of creating a theme? Is it Janessa? Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Yeah, burns, birds, avian exotics, all those kinds of things. Okay. What benefits does that have now for your clients? How does that help create an experience for your clients? How can that when you do that? All of a sudden, how do people feel when they walk in or out of that cat room?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. They feel they've been serviced just for that feline, or just for the canine, or whatever it may be. I assume probably the same for the animals and the exotics. Is that a hard thing to do? Could you do something like that? Help create a thing? Would it cost you a lot of money to do that? Not really. So that's one thing. Yeah, go ahead. A kid's corner. What do you do with that? Mm-hmm. Oh. Kids' Corner that teaches them about care and all those kinds of things. So now, obviously, you can have a lounge and that sort of thing. People, you know, do coffee. And if you really want to go upscale, you can do espresso machines, all that sort of thing. Okay. That's the first thing, creating that themes. We talked about it. Canine, feline, whatever it might be. Second thing, create those positive cues. And we've already talked about some of those things here. Your name is what again?
Kristen.
Okay. Kristen, what might your clients say when they walk out of that feline example, or walk out of that feline exam room?
It made me feel relaxed. It made me feel like it wasn't.
It made me feel personal. It made me feel like they were just really cared about my cat, rather than, you know, just another animal, doesn't it? And so that's really, and when you think about the experiences that you have, you can remember those things. It's memorable, isn't it? Do your clients remember that the first time they came in? I'm sure do your clients remember that and come back and ask about that? Sure, because...
And then they want to bring in their dog so they can see the dog room.
Yeah, exactly. Or bring in their bird so they can see the bird room. Exactly like that. Okay, now, it can be created by your staff. For example, at Disney World... The custodians there at Disney, they do an interesting thing. Let's see, how can I ask this? What has Disney Well, how can I? I'm trying to ask this thing. One of the things that Disney has realized with the custodian. Let me ask you this. Do you think being a custodian is a desired job at Disney? Do you think somebody would want to go and sweep up other people's messes and everything? It is actually one of the most coveted jobs at Disney. And they put their most customer-focused and friendliest people there. Why do they do that? Because they're visible, yeah. They cover the most area, yeah, warmer. Warmer. What do you mean most accessible? They will get asked more questions than any other employee in the park. They will get asked more questions. And also, I didn't realize this until I had a guy in a session a year or so ago who was one. He says, yeah, they interview for that, but that's actually a great job because you get to wander around the whole park. You know, when you're just selling snow cones, I mean, you're parked in a spot and you're there for 8 hours and you're tired and you get to wander around the whole park. But see, they interview people. And you notice those guys, if you remember, they're always clean. They're always friendly. They're creating that experience for you. Other things you can do. Architectural. Okay, what would we think of when we walked in here? Or walked in the outside and saw the thing. I mean, does that, do you realize you're in someplace different? How about, Scott, when you walked into Cabela's? What do you see when you walk into Cabela's? What's it look like inside? What do they have? Help me out, Scott. I mean, who else? What are they have rocks. They have waterfalls. They have places you can... They have, you know, in some places they have fishing pools. You can try out fishing equipment. You can go outside in some cases and do kayaking and all those sorts of things. So they create that. You've created that with your theme rooms. You know, you've created it with your bird rooms. You've, and a sympathy room. You've created those things. You know, you've kind of changed the way people think about a veterinary clinic rather than just simply walking into what can be a very sterile looking type thing. You've created a place where people can actually experience something, haven't you? Okay? And we talked about the ambience of Starbucks and then the Main Street USA at Disney. Think about how, again, you can create those particular experiences here. Okay. What positive cues? How about your staff for your veterinary clinic? Can that be a positive cue? What? What is it, Sandra? Everyone has the same uniform, name tag, and just the way they treat people, don't they? Okay. All right. Third thing, oh yeah, but the same thing, having the positive cues, we also got to do what? Got to get rid of the negative cues there too, all right? What are some of the things that detract from your themes? What's a big thing in a veterinary clinic? The odor, because it all kind of smells the same. How can you get away with it? How can you change that? What are some of the things you can do? One of the things that, you know, that... That Chris mentioned, I've taught in the Veterinary Management Institute up at Purdue. You get some real interesting ideas there. One, I thought one of the better ones was one of the groups got one of these little portable, they work with Otis Splunkmeyer cookies. And they got one of these little, you know what that is? It's like, what it is, they got a little, like a portable toaster oven sort of thing. Little oven, bake, like an easy bake oven, for lack of a better term. And then they can actually buy the Splunkmeyer mix and they get chocolate chip cookies. And they have these things. Go ahead. Bread maker. And have chocolate chip cookies. What else do you do?
We do the cookies.
Yeah, and how is it?
They give you the cooker. I mean,
yeah, they'll give you the cooker and charge you.
It's fresh cookies.
Yeah.
And I get people coming in that just come in with a cookie.
Is that okay?
That's fine.
That's okay.
Yeah, they walk in and they come back.
Otis Splunkmeyer. Otis Splunkmeyer. Jan, do you have those? Is that, do you use Otis Splunkmeyer? Okay. Anybody need a seat? Jan, raise your hand. Okay. Anybody? Jan can help. How would your veterinary clinic appear, be different if when somebody walked in, they smelled fresh bacon chocolate chip cookies? I mean, is there anything better smelling in the world than a fresh baked chocolate chip cookie? I mean, some of you might think, but yeah, I think most of us are going to say, or, you know, vanilla scented candles or breaking bread or something like that. Popcorn, yeah, there's another good one. Anything that, you know, the smells can get away with. Okay, posted signs, all right. When you get the trash bin that says thank you, You know what they have at Disney World? They have a talking trash bin in some cases. Where rather than having, you know, whether you go up and you throw it away and all of a sudden as soon as you flip it over, it says, thank you for keeping our park clean. Whoa, you know. But isn't that much more than, you know, you think of all the posted signs. You think of posted, don't do this, don't park here, don't this, don't that. You know, that really, that's a very negative cue in most cases. Okay? And Disney characters are always in character. If you're there in Disney World and you're talking to Cinderella or Snow White, he or she, they never get out of character. They're not going to talk to other people in the park regularly. They're always going to be Snow White, or they're always going to be one of the seven dwarfs. And of those people who are dressed in masks, they are never allowed to take their masks off in view of the public, ever. That character must be maintained. All right? A negative cue can create a negative experience, can't it? You go in and you have an employee that's maybe having a bad day, and somebody comes into your clinic for the first time, and they kind of go off on them. What's that going to do to that client? What's the impression they're going to have of your clinic from then on out? It's going to be negative, isn't it? Okay? All right. So we've talked about some negative. So think about, you know, negative cues for your clinic. What are some of the things that you have, and how might they be eliminated? Okay, that's the third thing about eliminating negative cues. Fourth thing, mixing in memorabilia. Okay, now certain goods, as you say, they've always been purchased for the memories that they convey. I would assume that probably most of us somewhere have in our dresser drawer have a ticket stub, or a program, or a T-shirt, or a hat, or something. Why do we keep those? To save the memory, don't you? How many of us have ever gone to a concert or a show and bought something like that? Being from Indianapolis, I could show you my Colt Super Bowl T-shirt here, but I won't. But, you know, very interesting thing when after the Colts won the Super Bowl and the game was over, you know what, 10 o'clock that night, something like that. Some of you may have Dick's Sporting Goods. We have Dick's Sporting Goods in Indianapolis. Dick's Sporting Goods opened at midnight with Colts Super Bowl champion T-shirts. They had lines blocks long outside at midnight to be the first to get a Colts champion T-shirt. You can now buy them anywhere you want for $10. But you see, why did people do that? Because they wanted to have that to remember that. Can you guys mix in memorabilia? Okay, it's Terry, right? You're nodding your head. How can you do that? Pictures on a new puppy's first visit. That's one. What else?
Bandanas.
What is it?
Bandanas for the dogs.
Bandanas for the dogs. Bravery certificates. They did that. Oh, clay paw prints. That's an interesting one. I'd like to have one of those for my guys. Yeah. Little clay paw prints. What else? Bravery charms that they can get. Name tags. Greenies for the dentals. And the list goes on and on. Go ahead. Oh, report cards. That's how they did for boarding. See, lots of little interesting ideas here, isn't there? And if somebody has a report... You know, how do people feel about their puppy the first time a puppy comes in? Is it just the cutest little thing in the world? What's going to happen with that picture when they go home? You're going to put it on the refrigerator. I mean, I still think of when we brought, oh, I have two dachshunds. And I think of, we have the pictures when we brought, you know, one we brought home, one was a rescue. And I still, you know, we still got those pictures the first night and my kids holding them and all that sort of thing. You never forget that stuff. You can mix in that memorabilia, can't you? You didn't think about it, did you, in that way? But you are helping when you have bravery certificates or things like, or your report cards or bandanas. You're helping to create that experience. You're mixing in that memorabilia here. Okay? Okay. And you can engage the senses. Okay, now, go back to you, Teresa. How do they engage your senses down at the aquarium? Temperature, so you felt it. What else? Sounds of what? eagles. Okay. How about this? You mentioned the smells. How could they do anything with that? How about the differences in the humidity when you walked into the desert? Or you walked in it, I mean, it smelled a little bit different, didn't it? Okay. Now, obviously we talked about one sense we want to engage or maybe disengage is a sense of smell, but what other, and a sense of sight, what other things might you be able to do in a veterinary clinic? How could other things you could engage the senses? How about let's broaden out the sight a little bit? Anything you could do there? You make an eye contact. Yeah. Okay. You're always on stage. That's a very good, yeah, interesting.
Disney doesn't have that.
They were absent the day they were talking about that, obviously. Okay. But when you think, we've talked about sights. How about sounds? You know, again, either positive or negative here. But you know, think about those kinds of things that we can do. Okay. However, folks, you have to. If you're really going to, you can do all the stuff we've talked about. But to really create experience, you really need to quote command a fee for that. How do you command a fee? Can you charge people for a bandana or charge? Do you charge? Okay, it was $3 for your bandana. What do you do? Can you increase your fees to do that? Will people go along with that? We talked again just very quickly about the Veterinary Management Institute. When we, a few years ago, I think it was Pfizer, did a survey, and they asked people, if your veterinarian raised their fees by 10%, how many of you would keep coming to your veterinary clinic? What was the number on that, would you guess? 76% of the people said, if you raised your fees by 10%, I would still come. They asked, if I raised our fees 20%, how many would still come? You know what the number was? Almost 60%. So all these little things we've talked about, will people come for a cat room? Will they come for a feline room? Or a canine room? Will they come for those experiences? Yes, they will. And will they pay for those services? Yes, they will. How do most people feel about their pets? They're part of the family, aren't they? That same survey we talked about, 83% of the people surveyed said they would willingly risk their lives for their pet. And then there was another question on which would you rather lose, your pet or your spouse? There's a lot of people who don't want to know the answer to that. Okay, the point is, folks, you can build on that. And you can create these things. And you can put things in there that command a fee for those services. Okay, for example, there's a movie theater in Michigan that he charges 25% more for a theater to come into a movie. This is in Detroit. How does he do that? Because what he does, he's got a restaurant, he's got arcades, he's got theme, he's got all the kinds of fun stuff that you can do. So kids want to go there and pay 25 to 30% more to go to a movie so they can have all the fun involved with that. And he makes a lot of money doing it. You can charge for this, folks. You can do this by creating those themes here. Okay, we got about 3 minutes. Go back to your little groups here. And think about what ways, based on what we've just talked about. Everybody try to come up within your group, try to come up with one way you can create, one thing you can do to create a little more experience for your clients. Okay, we're about out of time, so let's... Anybody got any... Who came up with a couple, just real quickly? Anybody come up with some good ideas? Okay, who's got one? Okay, is that Lenny? Lindley? Okay, let's kind of come back here, and I'm sure we could chat about this all day, but we're about out of time, so, okay, Lindley's got one. What do you got? Febreze scent stories that are placed periodically throughout the... Febreze. What is it called? The Febreze? A Febreze scent story. Just placed throughout the clinic, but you guys assume you can put all sorts of odors in there if you'd like. Fragrances, I think we'd call them. Tell I'm not. Tell I don't sell that stuff, don't you? Okay, anybody else got another one? What you got? Luxury suites. Okay. The luxury suites where they board a pet. There was one down, I was reading one in, I think it was down in South Carolina, North Carolina or something. They do it by themes, college themes. And you know, everybody wants, in Georgia, they want the Bulldog suite, or they want the Georgia Tech suite. And they charge like 50 or 60 bucks a night. But there's couches in there, there's cable TV, there's all sorts of, because you know, your pet's sitting there watching, yeah, I see what Georgia Tech's doing here. So, okay. Okay, lots of ideas here, folks, and that's what you're here for, is to begin to share these ideas. So I hope you can kind of come up with some things here. So when you think about how do we create experiences, realize, folks, that this is how we're changing. We're going to experience an economy. Five things you want to think about. Theming it, having those themes, creating positive cues, eliminating those negative cues, mixing in that memorabilia as much as we can, and engaging all those five senses. Well, folks, thanks for sharing your time with us this morning. I appreciate that. Have a good rest of your conference. Thank you.